today it's lies women believe about God. Huge, huge topic. In fact, this is really the biggest problem that the human race has, a wrong concept about God. That was Satan's first lie. Hath God said? And then he questions the goodness of God by saying it is good for you to eat of the tree of the knowledge of evil. And basically, God is holding back something that is good for you. And that's why the Lord Jesus said that Satan is a liar and has been from the beginning. If you have the book, you'll note at the beginning of each chapter, she begins with a little narrative as if Eve wrote it. And in this study, she talks about, I don't know what to believe now. 2 days ago, I fully believed that God was good, but now he made us leave the garden. He doesn't talk to us in the morning like he used to. You know, we're not in the Garden of Eden anymore. He seems so far away. I'm afraid of him. I'm not even sure what it means to die. Why couldn't he give me a second chance? Does he really care about us? Can't he do something about it? Now, whether she thought all of those things or not, I don't know, but very possibly she did, actually, because that would have been a very traumatic difference from going from an innocent situation to being a sinner, to having that sinful nature, and then to have been dealt with in, I'm sure, love but firmness by God in it being expelled from the garden and so forth. And so, because of sin, we have a broken relationship with God, and we have an insecurity about ourselves because we know that God is perfect. We have a conscience that convicts us about our sin. And we talk about insecurity, and definitely some people have more insecurity than others, but we all are born with insecurity because we're not measuring up to God. You know, the best thing that a mother can do for her children is consistently discipline them, teach them, love them, but cause them to realize they can have victory early on. And the more that they can have victory early on and walk with God, the less insecurity they will have. It's not by building their ego. It is by building their identity in Christ. I bring that up as a background because this matter of not thinking right about God comes from this reality that we are sinners and we have a deep sense within us that God is not happy with our sin. Is that correct? And there are consequences for our sin. And we see around us all kinds of things. And so questions do come. Now, most of us know God is good. We know the doctrines about God, his perfection, his holiness. But the test of what we truly believe about God is when things don't go right. It's one thing in a church service when you're encouraged about the things of God and you hear a message on the attributes of God, you agree with it in your heart, and you're thankful. But when you truly believe in the goodness of God is when things aren't going well, when it's not good. Things are not as you would like them to be. Now how are you thinking? So just, you know, in your own mind, think about how have you reacted to disappointments? How have you reacted to trials? How have you reacted to things that just, you know, were discouraging? Did you find yourself wondering about you and your relationship with God? Did you find yourself questioning a little bit about God, his care for you, and so forth? That's what Satan tries to get to do, because if he can undermine who God is, then it destroys the whole matter of faith in our life. And so trials can either be used of Satan, or they are mighty tools in the hand of God to perfect us to be what God wants us to be. And we make the choice as to how trials are used in our lives. And so Satan does everything he can to blind us. And so we've got to be very, very aware of this. So the first lie we want to look at today about God is that God is not really good. We've already alluded to that. Now, everyone in here would say, oh, I know God is good all the time. We know that little statement, and we'll say it, and it encourages us. But this is a bigger problem than we want to acknowledge sometimes when we find ourselves introspective about us, looking what's happening to us, looking at what's happening around us. You know, you begin to get disturbed. I don't know if you all realized it, but the most dramatic event in the history of our nation happened yesterday. It's not being presented that way, but the Supreme Court turned down the potential to overturn the Obergefell decision on homosexual marriage. And it is now codified, pretty impossible to overturn. So our nation has nowhere to go but down. God's merciful, God will work. But you know, you look at those kind of things around us and it can be very discouraging. But Satan wants to get us to think about our own personal lives that he does not want the best for us. That when he holds things back, when he has principles and laws that we need to follow, that he's actually inhibiting us from that which is really good. Do teenagers fall for that? Oh, yeah. But do adults fall for that? Yeah. Yep. May not be on the big things, but when things come in that we don't like or God says no, then we find ourselves maybe questioning a little bit about God. By the way, the minute you find yourself in a wrong mentality, that's a good time to pray, say, Spirit of God, would you please take over in my life? And I resist the devil. I want him to flee. I don't want the wrong thought here. And I'm telling you, God will help you. He will help you immediately on that. Well, here are some of the things, though. It's not usually that blunt in our thinking. It's things like, God is good to others, but he doesn't want good for me. You know, something is wrong with me. Something's out of kilter in God's working in my life. God may fight for others, but he doesn't have my best interests at heart. Or God may delight in blessing others, but he seems to enjoy seeing me suffer. Now, what's the common denominator through all three of those? Me. Okay. That's a self-centered perspective. And what that tells you is that your perspective on what God's endeavoring to do in your life, what life is all about, is skewed. And at that moment, your focus is on yourself and what you want, not on God and what he wants. Now, what I just said was hugely important. When we have any kind of little questioning about, you know, us, ourselves, and God just seems to do things for other people, or, you know, I just can't seem to have victory. He doesn't help me. He doesn't answer my prayers. The reason all those things are happening is we're more self-focused than we want to even admit. And we're looking at seeing God work for our best interests, not for his glory and for the transformation in our life that he wants to accomplish. And then we look around, as I mentioned, the Obergefell situation and the Supreme Court, which is tragic. Only one justice voted against that. And we'll never have a court as conservative as that, probably in the history of our nation. We can look at all of that, and sometimes we can say, where is God? Well, God's letting happen what is the reality of our nation at the moment. 65% of Americans approve of homosexual marriage. So it simply is reflective of where we are in our country. And now let me just say this. I mentioned this to the college students yesterday. If you are not truly committed to Christ, your dependency is upon financial security, it's upon things that you enjoy doing, it's upon human ambition that you have, then you have a reason to fear the future, because our nation will begin to crumble. But if your life is fixed on seeing God work and you want to see the work of God go forward, you want to grow, then you may be in on the most exciting years ahead, because as you walk with God in the midst of the turmoil, that may be the best days for the church in America that we've ever seen. So it's going to be, I told the young people, you better decide right now, what is it that truly is your life? Because, I mean, no joke, when I was on the way back from recording at radio, and when I heard that on the radio, that's probably the hardest hit. I've been around for a while. I've heard a lot of things in our country, but that one is right at the heart of a nation and God. No nation can survive in the kind of way that we have survived. Look at Europe. Europe's a shell of what it was. They're in trouble. They've turned their back on God. But it doesn't mean that our lives won't be quality. Doesn't mean that we won't have great opportunity. But if our values are not right, then we're going to be all messed up. So I want to just challenge you on that. That's not a small matter that I just mentioned. And I am not sensationalizing. I'm understating it. Took me a while to recover. I was at radio when 9/11 happened, but this was more traumatic deeply than the obvious attack, which was, of course, very astounding. All right, so we'd have to decide when the trials come, are we going to believe the lie of Satan that God is not good or that he is good? And I like her testimony. I'm going to just summarize it. She had been home. She's the oldest of seven. Her father was a godly man, very well respected. And she had a good time for a couple days, went back to where she was working in the ministry in Lynchburg, Virginia. And she got a call from her mother that her dad dropped dead with a heart attack in his 40s. And you can imagine. And she said it was, of course, a lot of tears, a lot of heartache. But she said the thing that helped was the fact that her father was a God-honoring man of the Word. And he had saturated his children with the Word. So the very Word that he gave his children was the Word that kept them going. And that they knew that God was in charge and that God is good. And I think that's a wonderful little illustration there. Not a little one, a big one. In her life. All right, God doesn't love me. Number two, oh, woe is me. Reminds me of the, ever had a little child say, nobody loves me, or mommy doesn't love me, daddy doesn't love me. Well, we're a little bit like those little kids there, sitting on the curb, feeling sorry for ourselves sometimes. And even though we know God is love, even though we know that the essence of what he did for us comes out of his holiness and he has perfect love, when you look around your life, you can wonder, how did he let me get in that marriage? How did he let happen to my children? What's happened? How can these things be? How can God love me and these things be a reality? Now, these are real questions, folks. And we're going to be looking at lies that sort of come out of this basic perspective, because everything gets back to, do we believe God? Do we believe his word? Do we trust him? And so a lot of people, because of not having a good, solid past with security in their family, not having things go in a proper manner when they were younger, they have a tendency then to question God's love for us. Now, I always tell folks, if you struggle with whether God loves you, would you go back to the cross? This is one of the most important things you can do. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever, everybody. You cannot ever let yourself think God doesn't love me when Jesus, the Son of the living God, the creator of the universe, hung on that cross for you and you were fully represented there. And every sin you will ever commit, he paid for fully, eternal judgment. There's no greater love than a man will lay down his life for his friend. And so when I counsel, and I will have people say, I don't think God loves me. And so I'll just go through the gospel. I will just go through what God has done for us and what we have. He has sent the Holy Spirit to be in your spirit. You have communion with God Almighty. You have the right to pray about everything. You have His heart in the Word of God. Everything we need to know for life and godliness is right here in the Word of God. So what you have to do is get back on the ground of facts. This is just a human tendency to feel sorry for myself, and things may be bad, but it isn't because God loves me. Sometimes, you know, it's just good to talk out loud. God loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I am saved. He's delivered me. Now, what am I doing thinking that way? It is not the right way for me to think. And it is very important. A little just practical note here. Do not let the habit of when something happens that negative, that a habit of luxuriating in self-pity for a while. Do not make the decision to go ahead, I'm just going to go ahead and be discouraged. There is a point of escape from discouragement. Now, do we get overwhelmed? Sure we do. Do we get disappointed? Sure we do. Do we get fearful? Sure we do. That's human. But there's a decision to keep in it. There's a decision to be self-focused instead of God-focused and to then sort of go into ourselves and escape into just the misery of whatever the situation is. Hate to tell you, things only get worse when you do that. And that will cause you to be thinking, well, God doesn't love me. Well, what did you do? You just drew away from God. You just got off of the ground of His promises. You stopped communing with Him. You're not listening to the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who is there to comfort you, come alongside and to give you what you need. It is a decision of the will to be encouraged. If you wait for circumstances to make you encouraged, you'll be far more discouraged than you are encouraged. Does everybody agree with me on that? There are more discouraging things than encouraging things in life. But knowing the Lord is always encouraging. So that's a lie. Now, let's say mom's here. If your child, you heard somebody came to you and said, you know, your child was telling me that you don't love them. Would that bother you? That'd hurt you, wouldn't it? And you'd say, that's absolutely untrue. What, you know? And you'd realize their immaturity and all, but it still bother you. Well, how do you think it makes God feel when we say God doesn't love us? With all of what He has given to us in His Word and all that He will do supernaturally for us. So we can say, yes, I know how it is. I can sometimes feel like God doesn't love me. That's a serious problem. That is a theological problem of utmost importance that you must get a hold in your soul. I will not go there. Satan, I will not listen to you. God loves me. And just say it out loud. God loves me. And I believe it. And Satan, I resist you. I believe God. And God will deliver you from that. Another one is, God is just like my father. Now, it is true, and I've said it often, I've said it in here on a number of occasions, that many people have a distorted view of God because our initial concept of God does come from our Father. God is our Father. And parents have an enormous privilege, responsibility to bring children to God, but if children aren't brought to God or they're mistreated, then these that are there to be representatives of the Lord in the early ages of a child have then warped the perspective. So it is true. And I have met many people who really struggled to believe God and felt like He was ready to judge them all the time and God never encourages me. Well, the dad or mom never did encourage. I understand that. That's a reality. There's a lack of assurance sometimes of salvation because they really didn't trust their parents' word. So they don't trust the word of God. Now let me just say this. The writer's dad, my father, were good men. And honestly, I did enter my adult life with a good view of God the Father. I just wasn't hard to trust him because I trusted my dad. But you know, as she says in the book, even the best of dad is just a slight shadow of how great our God is. So it doesn't matter what your father was like. What matters is what the Bible says, and you believe that that's true, and you act upon truth in your perspective of God, what he's doing. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There in James chapter 1. That's our Father. And so you've got to retrain. You need your mind renewed by the Word of God, the washing of the water by the Word. You need to let the Spirit of God take the Word and change your perspective. So don't say, well, and I can't help it. I didn't have a good dad. You have everything you need to know to have a right relationship with the Father. You realize how much is in here about God? I mean, it's unbelievable. The Old and New Testament, it's just volumes about God. And so I encourage you not to let yourself fall into that trap. Now, it is true, this goes right into not even trusting men because you couldn't trust your father. Some of you had real problems with your mother, and that also affects your security. Believing that God wants your best, and sometimes that can be a deeper emotional hurt in a different way than the matter of a father. But let me just say, God is not like your father, and you don't have to view God as your father. Our Father which art in heaven. We should see the reality of our Father. Now, you know, as good as my dad was, I've gone through the years, I realize how great my Father, my Heavenly Father, is compared to my human father. The thing that saved the day for me with my human father was he was honest about where he's weak. Very humble man. And that's very important. And so he didn't try to act like he was perfect, though the more I look at his life, the more I'm thankful for it. But God will give you a great sense of assurance with your relationship with your Heavenly Father if you are saturating yourself in this book, believing it, acting upon it, reveling in it. What do we have you do if you're following the pattern that we've laid out for prayer? What's the first thing that we should do? Worship the Lord. Go over who he is. I went over his attributes this morning, all of them. Not all of them. If I did that, I wouldn't be here today. But I mean, I went over most of the important ones again. And every time I do, I do it every day, something jumps out at me that is just, you know, such a wonderful blessing. God is wisdom. And he will give me what I need. There's nothing like getting the answers that you need. I was meditating on that today. And so there's real freedom when we don't believe that lie. And one of the problems, too, is that we then will rebel against what God says because we rebelled against what our father said. Now, everything that God tells you gives you freedom and gives you fullness. Everything that is not in God's will give you restriction and will bring death. And so you've got to turn that thinking in your mind to realize that the revelation that's from the heart of God is exactly what you need. And God can transform that thinking. You actually can have a very real understanding. Now, the next one, and I'm going to have to just do this one quickly. God should fix my problems. You don't like your boss, quit and get another job. Don't like your pastor style of preaching, find another church. I went ahead and read it since it was in there. Can't afford a newer car, borrow. Men don't notice you, flirt and dress in a way that attracts their attention. Your husband is insensitive, consumed by sports, and doesn't romance you the way he did when you were dating. Find a man at work or a church who cares and is willing to listen. That's pretty straightforward talk there, but that's exactly where ladies will get to, or men, you know. And so if things don't turn our way, we get upset with God. Now, people will turn to the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. You know, if God wants you to have every problem, have everything your way, you'll have plenty of money in the bank. Your friend will be cured of cancer. We won't be lonely anymore. Marriage will be salvaged. And by the way, God wants us to have all of our needs met. Our rebellious children will get right with God. We'll get instant victory over sin. We'll have to struggle with bad habits anymore, and we'll be happy and healthy. Now, can you pray and see God answer with your finances? Yes. Can you pray and see cure from cancer? Yes. But as you walk with God, you'll know how to pray. Can you get victory over your loneliness? Yes, yes, yes. But if God is your little magic genie just to make things zap and make you happy, see, it's all about your motive. Why do you pray? Why do you look to God? It's because you want to get what you want, and when you don't get what you want, then you're not happy and he isn't good anymore. That's what she's trying to get after. Does God want to salvage marriage? This is, man, we spend a lot of time on that. Yes, absolutely. Can you have victory over sin? Yes, I can have victory right now, and I can learn that sin does not have dominion, but I'm always going to be battling that till I die. But God can give me victory, and you can be happy, and God wants you to be as healthy as is possible in your situation. But many, many ladies do get very resentful when God doesn't just solve it right away. And it's the prayer motive wasn't right. God, is it okay to have a health problem? Can God do that? Now, God doesn't want rebellious children, but he wants you to face up to why that happened and what needs to be done to correct it. He's trying to grow you. Does he want your finances to be good? Yes, but is it all right if he puts you through a time when you really have to trust the Lord? Yes, those can be extremely good times. And on we could go. So whether we think we have a theological problem or not about our attitude toward God, when the trial comes, that's when the test is there. How do you think about God when things don't go your way? And next time you get a little disappointed, probably be today, what are you going to think about? God's doing a good thing. Trust him. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. And if you need to, say it out loud. God is good, and I believe it. I told God that this morning with all of my heart. I trust you completely. You are good, and all that you allow to happen to me is good, and I rejoice that I can trust you. And great peace will come to your heart if you truly believe that.